Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life by Bob Proctor, narrated by Bob Proctor and Dan Strutzel.
Have you ever wondered why even hard work is often not enough to produce the results you've been hoping for in your career? Have you been puzzled why, despite years of setting goals, you continue to fall short of your targets year after year? Are you curious why, when stressful circumstances happen in society or in your personal life, you find it difficult to control your attitude and emotions, while others seem to stay calm, collected, and confident? And do you find yourself wondering why other traditional personal development advice, like thinking positively, visualizing what you want, or affirmations, is too often like rolling a boulder up a hill rather than the effortless, exciting downhill process that you were expecting? The answer to these common personal development questions lies in a factor that few success and motivational speakers, teachers, and philosophers ever address, a factor that completely controls your long-term success or failure. And that factor is your paradigm. Hello, I'm Dan Strutzel, president of Inspire Productions, and on behalf of GND Media, it's my pleasure to welcome you to this all-new audiobook, Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life, from motivational legend and personal development expert, Mr. Bob Proctor. Over the next several hours, I will have the unique opportunity to interview Bob on this incredible material that was formerly only available to his attendees of his exclusive sold-out seminars. Here, you will get a master's-level education in how to get results in a systematic, consistent, and sustainable way, bypassing the worst effects of success killers like fear of failure, fear of success, procrastination, and the very worst, self-sabotage. And Bob will show you how to handle it all by spending time working on your paradigm, the one thing that the vast majority of people overlook, but which is the most important. Just what is a paradigm? As Bob will teach you, at its most basic level, a paradigm is a mental program situated in your subconscious that has almost exclusive control over all your habitual behavior, and almost all of your behavior is habitual. And paradigms manifest themselves in many ways. Paradigms are a multitude of habits passed down from generation to generation. Paradigms are the way you view yourself, the world, and opportunity. And paradigms are how you approach change and challenges. Once you realize that all of your behavior is controlled by paradigms, then the way you look at the entire world will change in a whole new way. Perhaps you know someone who seems habitually angry, upset at every turn in life, and unable to see the positive in any situation regardless of its presence. Maybe you know someone who has battled fluctuating weight for years, decades even. They seem to be on track for a while, getting healthy and dropping pounds, yet they always seem to bounce back to where they once were. And perhaps you know someone who seems to be stuck at a certain level of income for years, and they can never seem to break through to the next level. All of these outcomes are controlled by paradigms. And just as paradigms can be a prison of one's making, they can also be changed to deliver you the freedom to be exactly the person you want to be. Listen and learn as Bob will give you the key to freeing yourself from limiting paradigms, and then in turn changing that paradigm, that underlying mental programming, to transform your finances, health, career, relationships, and lifestyle. And Bob Proctor is the perfect teacher to take you on this journey. Bob has studied the mind, human potential, and himself with some of the greatest minds the world has ever known. In 1961, Bob Proctor started studying the all-time success classic Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and it transformed his life. Bob listened to radio and personal development legend Earl Nightingale, his condensed recording of the Think and Grow Rich book, thousands of times. Then, Bob worked shoulder to shoulder with Earl Nightingale and his company, the Nightingale Conan Corporation, from 1968 to 1973, before leaving to start his own personal development company. In fact, it was through this association with Nightingale Conant that I had the chance to meet and work with Bob many years later. As the VP of Publishing at Nightingale Conant in the early 2000s, I helped Bob to produce one of his favorite audio programs, the Lead the Field Seminar, which has now been developed into one of his top seminars with his company, Proctor Gallagher. It was during that experience that I got the chance to experience the brilliance of Bob Proctor's wisdom, knowledge, and captivating insights firsthand. And to date, millions of others have been inspired by Bob. Through the hit movie The Secret, his books, including his New York Times bestseller You Were Born Rich, his coaching programs, and live events. Today, he runs one of the most innovative, fastest-growing personal development companies in the world, the Proctor Gallagher Institute, with his partner and co-founder, Sandy Gallagher. So sit back, listen, learn, and most of all, apply the insights from this inspiring interview. Welcome to Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life with Bob Proctor. Bob, it's great to be with you today.
Dan, it's a real pleasure. I've been looking forward to doing this.
Session one, developing an awareness of your awesome power to change, how to respond to changes around you in this empowering way. Bob, I recently heard you start off a seminar by saying the following: this is going to be an incredible weekend for some of you. I could hear the collective gasp, since it was obvious that many people felt you would say all of you, but you stressed the vital importance of making a decision to change your life. You said, you decide if it's going to be you. So as we begin, talk about the vital importance that making a firm internal decision to use this material to change their life will make for all of those who are listening to this audiobook right now.
You know, it takes a committed decision, Dan, because what you need to do, or what's required to change a paradigm, goes almost in the opposite direction of everything we've been taught. We go to school and we take a book and we read the book. We're asked questions on the material that's in the book, and then you get on to another book. When the truth is, the contents of the book that we've just passed on from couldn't possibly be understood. Reading something once and moving on is not going to do it. Our paradigm was built through repetition, constant spaced repetition. And that's the way it's going to be changed. But that doesn't make sense to hardly anyone, because they're relating to the way they have been, what they thought was being educated in the past, when they weren't really being educated at all. They were gathering information. Tremendous difference, because you'll see people with very impressive degrees from prestigious universities, and yet they're struggling all the way through their life. They don't have enough money. They don't hold down a good position. Or if they have their own company, they go bankrupt or go out of business. And you think, how could this possibly happen? They're so smart. But the truth is, they're not very smart at all. They've just gathered a lot of information, but they don't use it. The paradigm controls their behavior, not the information that they've got. So they're not doing what they know how to do. And for some strange reason, they never figure that out. They never stop and analyze their own behavior relative to what they know, the information they've gathered. Most people that are highly successful, I have found over the years, and this is rather strange, their unconscious competence. They cannot articulate on why they're doing so well. So although they're doing very well, maybe multimillionaires, built prestigious organizations, they cannot transfer what's doing this to their own children, because they don't know why they're doing it. They'll just say, well, I just do it, you know. They're accepted. People think they're smart, so they think they're probably pretty smart. But it's got nothing to do with being smart. It has to do with the paradigm, because the paradigm controls us to an enormous degree.
Fascinating. So, you know, it's interesting because you're talking here about how most people associate knowledge with degrees and sort of external validations of this knowledge as opposed to what they're doing with it internally to produce actions that make a difference. And you've made this point often that what's going on in your internal environment is far more important than what's going on outside of you, such as conditions and circumstances. But, you know, Bob, watching the nightly news, listening to politicians, or even overhearing conversations in our culture really serves to send us another message constantly, that the conditions and circumstances out there are what's holding you back. And we need to fight back to change those outside conditions and circumstances. Why do you have a different view?
Well, our success in any undertaking is totally dependent on what's going on inside of our mind, within us. It's got nothing to do with what's going on outside. You're going to find people that do extremely well in the face of possibly a Great Depression. In fact, during the Great Depression, I was born during the Great Depression back in the 30s. There were people earning millions of dollars. Everyone wasn't out of work. Everyone wasn't broke. Some people did very well. So we have to ask, why did they do very well? What was going on? Why did a few people win? They built it in their mind. The success has to come from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're being controlled by our outside world because we've been trained that way. We've been programmed to let the outside world control us. I think listening to the news is probably one of the worst things a person can do.
Great point. Well, you know, the major topic of this audiobook and what you believe is the number one thing that affects our actions and ultimately how our life works out, as you've said, is our paradigm. So let's begin by having you define what you mean by a paradigm. And again, why it is so important. What's the difference between a paradigm and what most people think is maybe just thinking positively or changing your thoughts, for example?
Well, just thinking positively isn't going to do it. That's an illusion when a person believes that. A paradigm is a multitude of ideas that are fixed in our subconscious mind. Ideas that are fixed in our subconscious mind are referred to as habits. So a paradigm is a multitude of habits that are fixed in our subconscious mind, and a habit is an idea that expresses itself without any conscious thought. So you just automatically move into action. You drive your car primarily by habit. You don't have to think to drive your car. You're programmed to drive your car. And if a person would objectively observe their own behavior from when the time they get up in the morning for 2 or 3 hours, they would see that most of the behavioral patterns they're involved in are not going to give them the success they desire. And so then they have to ask themselves, why am I acting this way? And they do it every day. Every day they do the same things. It's because they're programmed to do these things. We're programmed to live the way we're living. We're programmed genetically, first of all. That's why we look like our relatives. So it's built right into the genes at birth. Earl Nightingale used to put it very well. He said, we're the confluence of a genetic pool that goes back for many generations. And that controls us, controls everything we're doing. Got nothing to do with what we learned in school, because if a person's got a bad paradigm and they have a great education from school, they're going to lose. The education's not going to help them.
So, Bob, in many ways, I'm getting this image in my mind. A lot of people, I know on their computer, they have to set a search engine or a screen as their default, if you will. So in many ways, this paradigm is almost like our default. It's what we just automatically fall into, kind of a program that's constantly running in the background in some ways that kind of causes us to fall into these same habit patterns over time. And if it's the case, as you've said, that this paradigm has almost exclusive control over our habitual behavior, and almost all of our behavior is habitual, then the question becomes, how can we ever break through those habits to change our paradigm or our program, as you put it? What is the, in general, as we get this discussion started, What is the word that you have of those people who'd say, you know, I've tried so many times, Bob, I'm in my 40s, my 50s, I've tried so many times to change, whether it be a weight issue, whether it be getting control of my finances, whether it be broken relationship after broken relationship, and I am who I am. What would you say to someone like that and why it's possible to actually change that paradigm, even if you're at a later stage in life?
Well, first of all, I understand why they're saying that. They have to understand, first of all, how the paradigm is formed. And then they have to understand how it's changed. And that is something most people do not understand. It's not taught in school. There's very few seminars that teach it. When I came across this, I was shocked because I was working in this field, but didn't really understand this. I went from earning virtually nothing. I was earning $4,000 a year, and I owed $6,000. I go back way back 1961. I mean, I was going backwards, and I couldn't see how I was ever going to get out of it. And 5 years later, I was earning over $1 million a year, and I owned a company that operated in Toronto, Montreal, Boston, Cleveland, Atlanta, London, England. And one day, I stopped, and I thought, how did this happen? I was asking myself, why did my life change so dramatically? And I couldn't answer it. I didn't know why. And I was being very irresponsible. I was living in London, in England. I had moved over there and started a company. And I'd go down to Playboy Club and play roulette. I mean, I didn't care if I lost the money because I knew where the money was. I knew how to get it. And I was totally irresponsible. And one day it dawned on me. I was like I had some kind of a euphoric experience. And everything in my head started to shift. And I didn't know why I was acting like I was. I didn't know why I was winning. Because I was really losing. I had no formal education, no business experience. And I thought, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to find out why I became successful, because I was fairly successful. It took me 9.5 years to figure it out. And I was consciously and deliberately focused on it. And then when I did figure it out, all I wanted to do was work at it. I was in a building maintenance business, cleaning offices. I started cleaning one office, and I ended up cleaning a lot of offices in a number of different cities. But I left that, and all I wanted to do was work at this. That's when I went to work at the Knight Yelkona Corporation. I went from earning over $1 million a year. I took a job at $18,000 a year. 5 years later, I was earning $33,000. I was prepared to pay them to let me work there because of the material that they had. I thought Earl Nightingale and Lloyd Conant were both absolute geniuses. What they were doing, damn, just blew my mind. And I didn't know anybody else that was doing what they were doing. And I wanted to learn. And I did. I studied them like a scientist. And that's when I started to get the dots to connect. And I realized it was through the repetition of listening to Earl Nightingale's recordings. I had a little battery-operated record player that I have right here in my studio behind me right now. And I would play Earl Nightingale's records. I couldn't stop listening to them. I had never heard anybody talk that way. Now, mind you, I was born during the Depression, and then I was only 6 years old. The whole world went to war. Everything was rationed. I mean, I lived through some interesting times. And nothing but bad news. Nobody was interested in developing a child's mind. I mean, my mother was raising three of us, so, you know, getting by was the main deal. And here I'm listening to Earl Nightingale. I'd never heard anybody talk like him. I used to think if God had a voice. And then, of course, I just became locked into this material. I've never stopped studying it. That's from 1961 till today. I mean, it should go in schools, but it should start before that. You can actually teach it to a baby. We teach babies to talk. We teach them to speak languages. I had an associate in Kuala Lumpur that had a little boy, 4 years old, could speak four languages. They thought nothing of that. And of course, in many parts of the world, that's very common. There's four or five languages spoken in a home. And so the child will grow up speaking four or five languages. But yet, when it comes to doing some half mediocre job, they say, oh, he couldn't do that. It's not smart enough. We have, I think, as a people, become almost obsessed with the development of the intellect and we almost ignore the development of awareness. You can have a person that has a doctor's degree in two or three things and yet be not aware of how to earn money, how to build a business, or how to develop a person. Awareness is the key. We want to become aware, I believe, of our oneness with God, with infinite intelligence that we're a part of. And the more aware we become, the more it's reflected in our results. And a lack of awareness is also being reflected in our results.
Well, one of those assertions that Earl Nightingale, you talked about how Earl had an amazing effect on your life and really, in many ways, changed the direction of your life through a lot of the wisdom that he shared in his many recordings over the years. And one of his most famous was The Strangest Secret. And his statement in there, you become what you think about, that again is one of those statements that the more you think about it, the more profound it becomes. But you've kind of developed that a bit further by saying, we put the brakes on ourselves through how we choose our thoughts. And it's interesting, you know, again, developing this awareness of our awesome power to change and through the paradigm and changing the paradigm. This statement you make, we put the brakes in ourselves, is a statement that's very contrary to, again, what many inputs in our society will suggest. And I'll give you just one challenge to this with something that's going on currently in our culture today as we make this recording, and that is our health pandemic with COVID-19. You know, there are many people who would say that the pandemic has put the brakes on my ability to earn money or on my business. And so, Bob, I can't control that. That's the pandemic. The virus is in control, if you will. And so I just have to accept that these changes are happening out there, again, in some grand sense that are beyond my ability. And again, once we get a vaccine, then maybe I'll be able to get where I was. How would you respond to that in light of your statement that we put the brakes on ourselves?
Well, I think we have to start off by understanding there's only one corner of the universe that we can change, and that is ourself. We can change nothing else. We can't change any of the conditions or circumstances we're surrounded by. Now, since we can't change the conditions or circumstances we're surrounded by, we shouldn't let them control us. And this pandemic is not controlling me at all. Our business is doing fine. We're doing very well. I think we are part of the animal kingdom, and in the animal kingdom, the idea is adapt or die. But we have to adapt to what's going on and keep going. We have to understand that we're bigger than the pandemic situation that we're facing outside of us. So I really don't give that a lot of time. I don't give it a lot of thought. I don't want to pay a lot of attention to that because it's going to come, it'll pass, and something else will come. There's always something outside that will control us if we let it. I don't choose to let it. I think that I'm in control of me. And it's not just what we think, it's what we internalize, because you can think something and not internalize it. You know, the idea that we become what we think about, it's true to a point, but you've got to internalize the thoughts that you're thinking about. You've got to emotionalize those thoughts, or they're not going to do you any good. If you just keep them on a conscious level, you know, you can be thinking of wealth and live in poverty. If you haven't internalized the thoughts of wealth, you're going to stay in poverty. Well, I think Neville put it very well. He said the future must become the present in the imagination of the one who would wisely and consciously create circumstance. See, we've been given mental faculties that no other form of life have been given. All the other little creatures in the world are completely at home in their environment. They blend in. We're totally disoriented in our environment because we've been given the mental faculties to create our own environment. But you can go right to our educational system and learn nothing about these higher faculties. We've heard the word, but do we understand how they work? Like we have memory, we have perception, the will, reason, imagination, intuition. These are phenomenal powers that we've got. I think Wayne Dyer used to put it very well. He says, when you change the way you look at something, what you look at changes. Of course, you're changing your perception. And you change your perception, you change your world. We've got a perfect memory. We've got perfect intuition. All of our higher faculties are perfect. They need developing. But we're not even taught we have them. So we're not taught how to use them. The imagination is not something just to play with. Everything we see in the world around us was first created in the imagination. And then, then it was turned into physical results. See, the world operates by law. Werner von Braun put it very well. When John Kennedy asked him what it would take to build a rocket that would carry a person to the moon and then bring him back safely to Earth, he said, the will to do it. Well, the will is one of our higher faculties. The will gives us the ability to hold one idea on the screen of our mind to the exclusion of all outside distractions. So when you focus on one idea, that idea must move into form. Andrew Carnegie put it very well. Any idea that's held in the mind, that's emphasized, that's either feared or revered, will begin at once to clothe itself in the most convenient and appropriate form available. Well, one of the first laws of the universe is the perpetual transmutation of energy. Energy is forever moving into form, through form, and back into form. Quotes on a nice clear day, you look up into the sky, if you're looking up long enough, you'll see a little cloud formation form. There's energy moving into form. And then the cloud will start to get dark, and it'll get heavy, and boom, out comes the water. Well, if you stood there and caught the water in a glass, and you stood there long enough, the water will go right back to where it came from. Energy returns to a source of origination. That's true with us and everything that we use. We're living with laws, but most people don't understand the laws, so they're not living in harmony with them most of the time. And as we understand the laws and bring our life into harmony with them, things get moving in the right direction.
So this is the difference. I think these points you've been making here, Bob, are very profound. And I just want to review one of the key things I heard there, because a lot of people, again, as they listen to personal development ideas, a lot of times they'll go from one program to the next and they'll say, you know, I've heard that before. Yeah, that didn't work for me. You know, I tried thinking again, changing my thoughts. That didn't work for me. But you're saying here something that people really have to understand, that you can't just change your thoughts, as it were, that you need to internalize it and emotionalize it through this transmutation of energy that is going to impress it on your subconscious. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Do you see, what I did, first of all, I was living in England and I was earning all kinds of money. And one day I thought, how did this happen? And I couldn't answer it. Now, I'd been raised to believe if you're going to earn a lot of money, you've got to be really smart. Well, I knew I wasn't very smart, but I was earning a lot of money. And then I was also raised to believe if you don't go to school, you'll never get a good job. I hadn't gone to school. I went to high school for 2 months. I didn't have a good job. I owned the whole company. So that's when I started to think, probably everything I've been raised to believe is not true. So I started to check almost everything I was raised to believe. And most of it wasn't true. That one person can be better than another. There's no person's any better than anybody else. The results may be a little better. They may earn more. They may be more productive. They may be able to run faster. But we're all exactly the same. If you take us all and put us in a damn good fire, we're all going to be reduced to the same level. We're massive energy and a high speed of vibration. Color, size, gender, doesn't mean anything. We've got to realize that we are all the same. And we've got to realize we are all subject to laws that are exact. They don't change. They weren't made by man, so man's not going to change them. And our success is going to be dependent on our understanding and bringing our life into harmony with these laws. We hear little buzz things, you know, winners gain, you know, givers are winners and stuff like that. Well, Emerson said the law of cause and effect is the law of laws. What you put out comes back. So if you give a lot of good, you're going to receive a lot of good. You're putting yourself in harmony with it. The secret came out. It did a lot of good, but it also confused a lot of people because there's all kinds of people who believe the law of attraction. You just think of it and you attract it. Well, that's not true. And most of the people that talk about the law of attraction don't really understand it. The law of attraction is a secondary law. The primary law is the law of vibration. The law of vibration decrees that everything moves, nothing rests. We literally live in an ocean of motion. And you think on a frequency. Thought is energy. And the frequency you're thinking on is going to dictate what you attract to you, because it's going to control the vibration that you're in. And you can't attract something that you're not in harmony with.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?